We are back here with the Beaver Dam. As I mentioned before we went to break, that the Lady Beavers, the women's soccer team, they opened their season on Friday, but they were at Circleville to take on Ohio Christian. Unfortunately, the women didn't start off on the right foot like the men did, and they lost their season opener 8-2. Looking at the box score, it looked like it was pretty close in that first half. And then things just kind of drifted away there in that second. The Beavers gave up 6 more goals to Ohio Christian, tallying it to 8-2. Senior Skylar Liming, she netted a tally in each half. She was the only Beaver to score. She put both those 2 goals up for Bluffton. She had an assist from freshman Julia Gibson to set her up for her second goal of the match with just over 6 minutes into the period. Ohio Christian forged a 40-9 edge in shots. Holy crap.
That's a lot of shots.
40-9? My God. Like, I'm not, like, saying this. My reaction is not to, like, saying that's bad, but, like, that's a lot of shots, like you said. Like, 40 shots? Holy crap.
I mean, I think we only get, like, shot, like, 12 shots, and that in itself felt like it was a lot of shots in the
right.
game.
But 40?
40 shots in
my
the game,
God!
That's like not...
Well, they had 25-8 on frame.
I mean, I guess for us, we had 9 shots and 8 were on frame, so that's looking up in the right direction.
Right, yeah.
But compared to their like
wow.
25-40 ratio, I mean...
Wow.
Still.
So Liming fired all 9 shots for Bluffton. Sophomore keeper Sienna Sullivan notched 17 saves for the Beavers.
I mean, a thing that I think will really hurt, not really hurt, but kind of hurt the girls' team is, I know right now they have a couple girls that are hurt and injured.
Yeah.
And they're still a pretty young team.
Yeah, they only have 2 seniors.
They don't have very many subs. And, I mean, there's a lot of running in soccer. And I think what really helps us is we have 20-some guys that can go in the game.
And I feel like I'm not trying to like say this like in the mean way, but like I feel like you guys are more in shape, and I feel like Coach Elvert got you more physically in shape. And I'm not saying Coach Gregory it hasn't gotten these ladies in shape, but he mentioned that that's the one thing they need to work on is just getting more fit for these games.
Like for us it would be easier for us to get in shape, in game shape, I guess, because we can go at 11v11 every practice if we need to, while the girls, I mean, they have, what, 19 girls on their roster?
I believe so.
And
they don't have
the numbers to be able to go at it at practice.
Yeah, they're like, what, 3 shy of actually having the 11v11. Yeah,
with everybody healthy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that part, they can't really help not having subs.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you get wore down when you play.
Oh, no doubt,
and
no doubt.
You only have one. You can only enter one time in the first half, so if you get taken out of the game and somebody needs a sub, I mean, they're going to have to finish off that half.
Yeah.
I mean, the second half, you get a re-entry, but even still, with only 19 players, you're still going to play a lot of minutes, and it's just going to wear you down.
Yeah. Well, the Beavers are back in action on Sunday, today. Yes, again, we are recording this on Sunday, and this airs on Monday. They play at 4. They play Goshen College, and it is their home opener. So hopefully they got a good crowd to go out.
I'm going.
I'd like to go.
Excited.
I can't, unfortunately.
I love watching soccer. Love playing soccer. Especially when you know people on the team, I think.
Yeah.
Being at a small school like this, it really helps.
It's like high school. It's like being at your high school athletics. You know everybody.
And I think from like an athletic standpoint, like when you're an athlete and you see your classmates and your friends out there at your games supporting you, gives you an extra like boost.
Yeah.
Not even of like confidence, but like we can do this. I mean, we have all our friends, our family are here. They want us to do well. So why not just go out there and show them what we can do?
Yeah. So not only do the women's team have a home game on Sunday, they will be back at home on Thursday against Oberlin. That is a 5 o'clock start on September 6th. And then on Saturday, September 8th, they are away at Hiram. That is also a 5 o'clock start. So I'll definitely be at the Thursday game. I won't be at the Saturday game, unfortunately.
Hopefully you'll be at my game.
I wish. I wish I can. My parents are picking me up, and we're going to Cedar Point. It's Midwest Express Day there or whatever. My dad works there, and they have they always have a day, like a picnic or whatever there. Anyway, so that wraps up women's soccer. Hopefully they come out with the W on Sunday against Goshen. So the volleyball team also kicked off their season on Friday. They put a beatdown on the other purple school, Defiance. The Beavers were in the Ohio Northern Tournament over the weekend, both on Friday and Saturday. They had one game on Friday, and that was against Defiance. They beat the Yellow Jackets 3-1. And on Saturday, they dropped both games, but that's okay. They played very good teams. They played Thomas More. They lost 3-0 in that, and they also lost 3-0 to Case Western Reserve. Both are very good volleyball teams. The Beavers won the first two sets against Defiance on Friday, 25-14, 25-14. Dropped the third to Defiance, 26-24. And then in a very close fourth set, the Beavers won 25-20. Bethany Martini led the Beavers with 19 kills and added a whopping 15 digs. Fellow senior Aaron Weisgarber couldn't be stopped as she dominated with a triple-double, 38 assists. Holy crap. Yeah, 11 kills and 16 digs. My gosh, that's a lot. Freshman Brooke Kleeman was all over the floor, tallying 20 digs, while seniors Abby Robach and Courtney Zimpfer added 19 and 13 pickups, respectively. They played well in that first game. They played very well in that first game. But, I mean, it helps that they know Defiance well, though. Mm-hmm. Like, with Defiance being our rival and being in the conference with us, like, they know how Defiance plays.
Well, it looks like game one and two were really not very close. Well, I guess set one and set two.
Yeah, set one and set two. The Beavers blew them out of the water. 25-14 in each set.
And then, I mean, that third set was obviously a close match.
Oh, yeah. Defiance squeaked out 26-24. The Beavers played well on Friday, but on Saturday, that was a different story. In their first game against Thomas More, they hung in there, but it wasn't enough. Thomas More swept the Beavers in three sets, 25-17, 25-13, and 25-19. They also struggled against Case Western. The first set was pretty close. The first set wasn't a blowout like the first three against Thomas More were. The Beavers lost 25-23 in that first set, and then in the last two against Case Western, they lost 25-17 and 25-20. Sophomore Remy Bauer led the offense with 7 kills against the Saints. Senior Aaron Weisgarber, who was named to the ONU Invitational All-Tournament team, handed out 15 assists, and she was just a dig away from a double-double. Freshman Brooke Kleeman also just missed double figures with 8 pickups. So that was against Thomas More. Against Case Western, freshman Maddie White, who finished with 11 putaways and a .292 hitting percentage. Bethany Martini added 10 digs, while Weisgarber dueled out 21 helpers. Kleeman and Abby Robach picked up 15 and 11 digs, respectively. The Beavers will make their home debut against Indiana University East this Tuesday at 7. The Beavers are looking to bounce back, even up their season percentage to .500. They're looking to go 2-2 on Tuesday against IU East. I don't really know how IU East is, so I can't really give a prediction, but I mean, my prediction is always in favor of the Beavers. So hopefully they roll out. Hopefully it's a good game too. A three-set sweep is fun to watch, but if the team that they're playing is trash, then it's not fun to watch because mm-hmm. It's just dominance. Like, I want a good volley session. I want a good, like, set. Like, that first one for against Case Western, 25-23. I mean, that must have been a nail-biter. And then that third set against Defiance on Friday, also another nail-biter. I mean, Defiance came out on top of that one. But still, having a good, close set is always fun to watch rather than a blowout. I don't really have anything else to add, do you?
I mean, if I could have watched, I would, but
Right.
It's hard when we're busy on the weekends when they have these invitationals. Even though ONU was like 15 minutes away, you were at your soccer game. I was busy with the Beaver Dam. Hopefully I can get out to the game on Tuesday. Actually, I can't get out to the game on Tuesday. We have our Whitten Marston meeting at 7.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Anyways, so yeah, we wish these Lady Volleyball Beavers the best of luck. And last but not least, we got football. Man, what a game. Myself, Floyd Krodrovic, and Micah Roberson called the game. Micah left at halftime, but it was nice to have him back and in the booth with Floyd and I. And having Floyd in the commentating booth with me for the first time ever, he did really well. I was really surprised. And he was oh my gosh, dude. He was so much help. Having an actual football player in the booth with, I mean, I know my football stuff, but having someone who actually like knows more about the game is 10 times more helpful. So having him in the booth was so fun. I know he was a little nervous and all that, but he did wonderful. I really wish we could have recorded the game just so he had like tape for like when he goes to apply for jobs, like he actually has some audio to send in. But the Beavers kept it close. It was 28-8. It was 28-14 heading into the half. Wooster put two scores in each first two quarters. It was 14-7 after the first, and it was 28-14 at halftime. But then Wooster kind of took over in that third quarter, put up 16 unanswered points to make it 44-14. And Floyd and myself kind of thought, oh, this is not good. Bluffton's just going to get rolled on. And then Bluffton answered back almost with a great comeback. They put 20 unanswered on the board in that fourth quarter, and I really wish you were there to watch it, because that was some great play. As I'm trying to remember like some of the key plays, I know Brandon Koch started the game, starter, senior quarterback, goes in one drive, I think they go three and out. Second drive, he gets a snap. It's a bad snap, and he fumbles the ball, and I think Wooster recovers it. But how he lands, one of the Wooster defenders like lands on his shoulder, like right in the back, out the rest of the game. So hopefully Brandon Koch is all right, and it's not a very bad injury. But Plummy Gardner came in. He struggled a little bit to start off because being thrown in. I mean, yeah, Floyd mentioned every football player, even backup or not, you go in thinking next man up, like knowing there's a possibility you have to be thrown in. But Plummy came in, and he lit him up, man. It wasn't enough to come back, but Plummy, woo, that boy can play football at quarterback. He brings a different touch, too, than Brandon. Plummy's more of an athletic quarterback. He can beat you with his arm, and he can beat you with his feet. But Wooster was ready for all of the runs for Plummy and Darian Greeley. And the run game just wasn't there, really, for Bluffton. As I'm looking at this recap that they have on the website, I don't think I see the stats for the game. I know they were having difficulties getting stats.
I know someone looked them up on the bus yesterday, but I don't know how they found them. I think it was actually Colton.
Well, Caden Croft, the quarterback, sophomore quarterback from Wooster, he put the Fighting Scots up 7-0. Well, a 7-yard touchdown pass to his junior wide receiver Nick Strasball, and then they went up 14-0 after a fumble recovery, and they took it back 15 yards for a defensive touchdown from Robert Alvarez. Then Bluffton responded. Bluffton gets the kickoff around the 20-30 yard line, and Plummy, who goes in at quarterback, because after that touchdown fumble recovery for Wooster, that's when Brandon Cope got hurt. Plummy gets thrown in and throws a 69-yard dime. I mean, that ball was perfectly placed for Dunk. He throws it to Adam Duncan, cuts into that lead. We're down a touchdown after one quarter, and then the Fighting Scots answer back. They in the 10:49 mark in the second quarter, Jacob Lewis reeled in a 17-yard touchdown dime from Croft. And that was the Beavers' second time being down two touchdowns. With 5:07 left to go in that first half, Plummy Garner finds Lucas Espedia for a 27-yard strike. That would cut into that lead, making it 21-14. Then, that third quarter hits. Wooster's already up two scores by then. They add another touchdown before heading into the halftime break, making it 28-14. And then, that third quarter, Wooster just puts 16 up on the board. I think they go for... No, they don't go for two. The kicker shanks a PAT, hits the left side of the goalpost, shanks right off of it. But then they add a field goal to the lead. So Bluffton came into that fourth quarter being down 44-14. And I was talking to some of the guys after the game, and I heard Coach Krebs tell the team that he was very proud of the resiliency that they showed in that fourth quarter. Because if this was the team last year, if they were down that much, they would literally give up. They really wouldn't try because they knew that it just wasn't happening. But this team that I saw yesterday play, they showed no signs of giving up. They fought back and made this a very exciting game. So as I mentioned, they were down 44-14 to Wooster. Plummy Garner found Lucas Espedia two more times for two great touchdowns, just 9 seconds apart. Literally, Wooster, they scored twice within like 10 seconds, and it was fantastic. They scored the first touchdown to Espedia, and then on the Adam Duncan kickoff to Wooster, they muffed it. And that ball literally bounced off the dude's chest and went like 20 yards. Like,
jeez.
Yeah, and like the guys ahead of him, like they didn't see it because they were blocking for him.
Yeah, they had their backs turned.
Yeah, they didn't see the ball, and the receiver who muffed it, like he's trying to get it back. Bluffton, very good football IQ to get that ball back. Bluffton trimmed the lead with those two touchdowns by the 12:43 mark. And then late in the game, as Bluffton is trying to pull within, Plummy finds D'Angelo Woods for a 13-yard pass around the 2:45 mark. But the two-point conversion was picked off. And after that two-point conversion was picked off, Bluffton literally almost let that defender who intercepted take it back. Yeah. Caleb Heilman literally saved Bluffton 2 points because he caught up to the kid and pushed him out of bounds. Like I don't know what they were doing. But looking at the team stats, Bluffton had 301 passing yards. They threw almost 100 more than Wooster did. Wooster finished with 207. But Wooster, they killed Bluffton on the ground. They had 146 running yards. Most of it came from their senior running back, Antonio Bailey. That man was a just pure beast. 6 foot, 205-pound running back. He had a 42-yard run up the middle for a score. He literally just plowed through the middle of the defensive line and the linebackers, literally shaking people off and carrying them on his back to the house. It was insane. Bluffton finished with 27 rushing yards. Bluffton lost the turnover battle 4-3. But Plummy, though, he lit up the stat sheet. He threw for 298 passing yards, a school record, tying 5 touchdown passes. Espedia was his leading target, as I mentioned earlier. He hauled in 3 receptions for touchdowns and a total of 136 yards to begin his senior campaign. You couldn't ask for more from your senior wide receiver. That's fantastic.
Great leadership, too.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Senior Tyler Showalter led the Beavers with 12 tackles. Isaac Zigafoos, the senior preseason All-American, also had a major impact for the defense. He tallied 6 stops with 2 sacks. And those sacks, man, that quarterback, Caden Croft, did not see them coming. Literally, one, he came from the backside, and Croft literally just... Like, it was an instant flop to the ground. Like, he ate it.
I would be so scared to keep Isaac.
Well, Isaac's like, he's like 6 foot and a couple inches.
Definitely.
260-pound man.
So big.
Oh, I would not want to take a hit from that dude. Donovan Clark also added 4 tackles and a big interception. There was another interception in the game. Bluffton picked off Caden Croft twice. After watching this game and processing it, I'm actually proud, too, of this Beavers football team. Being down 44-14, entering that fourth quarter and putting 20 unanswered up, with that defense not really playing well at all. Because, I mean, obviously, look at the rushing stats. They couldn't stop the run. They still fought in. They still fought in this game, and they made it a close one. I mean, they lost by 10. I mean, a loss is still a loss, but they can take from this and learn from it. They really need to get that interior defense going to stop that run, because the defensive backs really played, they played really well. Picked off twice. They limited Wooster to 207 passing yards. I mean, it's still a lot, but it's not like they had a heyday. But the Beavers, they won't be home for another 2 weeks. Their next home game will be September 29th, this Saturday. The Beavers will quickly put this game in the past as they prepare to take on Trine University in their first road game of the season. Bluffton dropped a 55-14 decision to the Thunder last year. But 2 years ago, though, the Beavers beat Trine at Trine. So hopefully that happens again, as they look to avenge that loss from last year. The game will kick off at 1 p.m. We will unfortunately not be there to call the game. Hopefully in the years to come, we'll have our sports commentating crew go to every football game. I think that'd be a nice thing to have, especially with some, like all the faculty who have reached out to us and say they really appreciate what we do here with the Beaver Dam, to give them scoring updates and inside looks of what's going on inside the athletics that they cannot attend. I know I wanted to try to do that this year. It just didn't work out. Hopefully in the years to come, it'll happen. I'll really look forward to that. But yeah, that game kicks off at 1 o'clock on Saturday, September 8th in Angola, Indiana. Anything else to add, Trent, before we wrap up?
Will I even get to watch a football game this year? Maybe Defiance.
Defiance, if your season ends.
I got to watch a couple last year. They've never been a really big football guy. I mean, obviously.
You're more of a football guy.
Yeah, I play soccer, so that might explain it. But I like watching when I get the chance to, anyway. At least there. I'm not big on the TV. I'm like, kind of disengaged, but when I'm at a game, it's really fun.
Yeah, it's better watching a game at the stadium than on TV. It's more, I'm like that with baseball. I'm more like, I'd rather be at the ballpark watching the team play than watching it on TV, because it seems like it just takes so much longer on TV.
And in high school, I mean, I was part of the marching band.
Yeah.
So I got to go see every high school game that my high school had.
What'd you play in the marching band? What was your instrument?
I was a drummer, so we started marching band in 8th grade if our director thought we were ready. So my 8th grade year, I played bass drum, and that was funny because I was probably like 4'10 in 8th grade. I was tiny. And I mean, I was on the smallest bass drum, but it still looked ridiculous on me.
Right.
And then
I got to see a picture of that.
I'm pretty sure I have one somewhere at home. I'll get you one. And then
I think our audience wants to see a picture of that too.
Right, I'll have my mom send it in.
Okay.
And then my freshman year, I got moved to multiples, which is like the ones where there's four.
There's like, yep.
Well, there's we had five, and then mine had a cowbell on them for a couple years. But I played those. And actually, senior year, I was band captain, which was really fun. But I kind of not really stopped playing drums. I mean, I'll do it every once in a while. I'll go back and I'll help my high school team. But it was definitely really fun. I mean, when I was little, I never thought I'd actually be good enough to play the multiples. But then, I guess I was just kind of naturally good when I started out. And then I just, from there, I thought, why not just try
right.
get as good as I can. So that's, and it was fun. Like, I had a lot of friends. I went to a tiny high school. I mean,
yeah,
not tiny, but still pretty tiny. I mean,
that's the size of Bluffton.
My graduating class was 88.
That's not bad.
So
I mean, my graduating class was probably like 150.
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone was kind of close, especially like athletes. I mean, I was a three-sport athlete in high school. So, I mean, I kind of had
soccer, baseball,
wrestling, and baseball. So, and almost my entire baseball team were all football players. So, I mean, it was just fun getting out there every weekend, supporting my friends, my brothers. I mean, it was just good times. And I mean, my high school team wasn't the greatest high school football team, but I mean, it didn't really matter at the time. I mean, we're all there to support our friends.
Right.
So it was just a good time.
Well, that does it for today's episode. Catch us on Wednesday. Trent and I thank you for listening to not only the Beaver Dam, but 96.1, The Wit in general. We'll have a new episode up on Wednesday at 6, and then on Friday at 6 as well. Podcast will drop the day after. So this podcast will drop on Tuesday, Wednesday's on Thursday, Friday's on Saturday. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961.
Can they like send song suggestions in, like if they want to hear something?
Yeah, yeah. If y'all want to, whatever song you want to hear. I mean, obviously, I broke out the country on Wednesday, but it's only been one time. Send us whatever you want to listen to. Honestly, if you want, we'll find a clean version of the song. If there's a little bit explicit, or we'll clean it up ourselves. If you like what we listen to on the wit, and you like an alternative song, and you're like, I really want to hear this in the Beaver Dam. Let us know, man. Like, tweet us at the Beaver Dam. Tweet it at me in general, or Trent in general. Just get a hold of us. If you want to do a radio show, get a hold of us. Yeah. I mean, that's it. Signing off. I'm Tyler Avila. Joining along with Trent Mast, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll beat.